Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools. For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown. Through its Fed Talk series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia's students and Georgia's schools. Welcome to Fed Talks.
Well, welcome back, everyone. This is the third podcast in our series on the Title I Part A program, which again is one of the, it is the core education program under the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. So we're pleased to have our two program managers with us again. And I'm Craig Gears, and joining me are my colleagues,
John White with Federal Programs,
Sean Owen with Federal Programs,
Randy Phillips with Title I,
and Ken Banter with Title I.
All right. Well, thank you again for being here. We're going to roll right into the questioning. I think, Sean, you're going to start the conversation.
Absolutely. So having my other role being the state ombudsman over private schools, and that was the first podcast that we did in the series, I'm very excited to hear how Title I impacts private schools and the use of those the funds. So are there any differences in the way that the private and public schools use the money?
Yes. Let's start with a private school. A private school can only use their Title I funds that are allocated to them only for those identified students that are eligible to receive it, those funds. And those students are eligible and identified if they reside back in a Title I school zone, back in the LEA. A private school does not receive specific funds. They don't get it like $1,000 to work with these students. All the funds remain back in the school district from which those students reside. And it's the program is run by the school district. And the school district then works with the private school to find out what the needs are, what students are eligible. And then they design a program to provide what we call equitable services, either academic or and also with their parents, and also with their teachers that are teaching those eligible students.
Hey, Sean, isn't collaboration and consultation a big part of this?
That's a huge part of this.
What Ken just described, I would think, takes a lot of communication.
Right.
Right, and it's unique to Title I, correct?
Yes.
In that when we talk about the other programs under Title VIII, which we have five different programs, they stay within the geographical boundaries. But with you all, if I'm a private school, particularly a metro, and I could actually work with up to 10, 11, 12 different districts for Title I because your program is the one that can go outside of the geographical boundaries, correct?
That is correct. Title I funds can only serve those students or those private schools where our kids attend. And it can go another school district, it can go even across state lines. It's wherever the kids from my school zone are going to a private school.
So let's make sure I get this straight. So I live in DeKalb County, but my child attends private school in Gwinnett County. You're saying if I'm eligible as a title, my child's eligible under Title I. I live in DeKalb, but the DeKalb County School District is going to provide support to my child who's enrolled in the school in Gwinnett County?
That is absolutely correct.
And that is a little different.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you mentioned about the collaboration and consultation. And typically what we do is we have a year planning in advance of providing those services because it does take a lot of time and effort to discuss with a private school what their needs are and then design what those programs or equitable services are going to look like. It could be tutoring, it could provide them some supports, materials.
Isn't it in essence? I mean, it's the same thing as available to the private schools as available to the public school students. Is that safe to say?
It is pretty close to that they are. The one difference that you're going to find in a public school, we talked about in an earlier podcast about school-wide program and target assisted programs. At a private school, the school-wide is not available. School-wide is not an option for, so not every student at the private school would be able to receive services.
And just so we remember, a school-wide is when there's a
large percent of students in the building would qualify that all students would be eligible for services. In private schools, they must operate as a target-assisted program, so they will, first of all, earn their funds, as Ken said earlier, through the number of kids that actually attend that private school.
That reside in a
Title I school district. But then, again, just like in a regular public school, they would have a needs assessment, and the academic needs of those kids is what is addressed. And then they take that, the funds, which they don't really see funds, but they, through the school district, they'll receive services in the amount of the funds that they earn to be able to serve those kids.
But to be clear, the private school doesn't get an allocation like the school does. It's just the school district works with the private school and
exactly
provides the
services. Well, the program is actually the school district's program. So in Craig's example, where his child might live in DeKalb but goes to Gwinnett Private School, if the DeKalb would actually provide the services to that child in that, if they need the academic services. Again, as I mentioned earlier, just because you qualify to earn funds doesn't mean you're the one that gets it. It's the ones that are academically identified that would live in that school district. So Craig's child might have earned that private school some funds, access to funds, but another kid that lives next door might actually be the one that gets
services.
Because
the academic need
drives where the funds go.
So in other words, you wouldn't, when we talk about receiving the money, so if a private school pays for certain items, then they're not getting reimbursed for those items, correct? Or how does that work? So if I decide I'm a private school and I'm going to go out and maybe purchase some equipment, how does that work? Who owns the equipment? And then how does the funding for that allocation work?
The statute under Title I is very clear when we work with private schools that no funds go directly to the private schools. The Title I school district maintains all the funds. And then through that consultation process, as you said, let's say that the private school determines that they need some computers to provide some instruction for these identified needs. Then the school district will buy the computers, and it's like they loan them, they make them available for the students and this private school during that school year. And then after that school year, if they're not going to be providing services the next year, those computers come back to the school system. The private school does not retain any of those items purchased for these equitable services.
I have a question. Who decides whether the private school is going to participate in the Title I program or not?
That's a very good question. Every year in the fall, all the school systems in Georgia will send an invitation letter to all the private schools that they know that their students are attending. Like for Title I, it can be from Gwinnett County to DeKalb or to another state. Wherever those kids are going to private school, we invite them to a meeting where we discuss the possibility that they can participate in equitable services.
So in my example again, I reside in DeKalb County, so DeKalb County, the public school system, is going to send the letter to my child's private school in Gwinnett County, and then that private school in Gwinnett County is going to make the decision.
They'll make that first choice.
Whether it wants to attend that meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It's the private school's choice ultimately. The public school offers, the private school either accepts or does not, and it's a choice. Some private schools want to take advantage of that. Some decide that it's not going to benefit their students. In a lot of private schools, they don't have enough poverty students to qualify for services that would be beneficial. But there are private schools that are serving a good number of poverty students, and those schools tend to look for the extra assistance because those students tend to have academic needs that need to be addressed. And so hopefully they will take advantage of those funds and make it available for their students.
So following that meeting, if the private school says, hey, I do want to participate, then that's when that planning starts. And it's, as I said earlier, it's a year-long process to plan for the next year's equitable services.
And it's really important to point out, I think, that services in private schools must begin at the same time that a public school begins its program services, right? I think that's always, it's a little bit, I think ESSA has honed in on that. Am I right, Sean?
Very
specific. That it's, they're highlighting the fact that there is no delay in services. It's an equitable program.
Right, and that ties into carryover and the changes in ESSA because of wanting the needs of those students to be served with that funding. So you don't want to have that carryover as we have in the past. And what happens is if you don't start the services at the same time, the beginning of the year, wherever, whenever it's determined, but it needs to be available to start at the beginning of the year, then those services get pushed further and further out. And then you end up in a situation where you may have allocations left over, which we don't want.
And the reality is these are children who have the same needs regardless of whether they're in a private school. I mean, I think it's only fair,
right,
they receive those services.
Well, that's why we stress the consultation process starting or as early as it possibly can, because what you're actually doing when you start meeting in October and November, you're not planning, that year's already in place. You're looking for planning, and that meeting is to go for the next school year. So between that October and August opening date, that is when you're planning as to what services are going to be needed. You look at your needs assessment, and you talk with the public school system and the private school system, and they look at where their needs are, identify those, and make a plan. And then they implement that plan starting the very beginning of the next fall. Then the cycle starts over again.
Right,
in October and November, they start looking with those private schools, invite them again. Is this working for you? Is this beneficial to your students? And if so, let's move forward and let's start planning for the next year.
So it obviously involves a lot of collaboration and organization in the public school district office. Can you share a little bit with us? Typically, in a typical Georgia public school system, who runs or who manages the Title I Part A program? If our audience is interested in learning more, who would they talk to in their local district about the Title I Part A program? And I think it relates to private schools as well. Who's that contact?
If any private school or private school parent is interested in this, they should contact the school district where their child would attend if they were not attending a private school, and talk to their Title I program director. It could be the federal programs director from that district. They go by several names. But talk to someone in the federal programs department from that school system.
So even very small school districts with, you know, only a handful of schools, they're still going to have a Title I Part A director?
Coordinator or something, yes.
Okay, so there always is somebody in the central office.
Right. If because someone is processing their Title I program in their school system, so that person is also responsible for making sure the private school, if they wish to participate, has access.
And if a parent is listening to this podcast and they know that their private school is not benefiting from the Title I funds, they may want to talk to their private school headmaster to ask them why and what could we do to participate in Title I.
I think, honestly, that probably people are scared of federal funds sometimes because they think it's a bureaucratic nightmare to manage. But the reality is, this for private schools, it's not that challenging or difficult, right? Because really the responsibility is the public schools.
So. Right, and the kids get the services if they need the services. That's the important thing.
And that's why we invite all the private schools to this meeting in the fall to dispel some of those myths and fears and to see how the private schools could benefit from federal funds.
All right, so as we wrap up this session, can you give our listeners some places they can go to get more information about this?
So I'll take this one. We are trying to, because there are six different programs that are under the equitable services for the state ombudsman. There are also equitable services for special education as well, but that's under a different law and a different division. But if we're trying to consolidate everything to one site, so you don't have to go to five and six different websites. So you can locate that on the federal programs website and go to stateombudsman.com/private-school/equitable-services. And you should be able to locate all the resources that we have available that address the needs of private school students being served through federal programs in Georgia.
And I'll end this by saying thank you to you guys for sharing your knowledge of the Title I Part A program. And for our audience, just so they know, the allocations under Title I are awarded to the state on July 1st, and we award the funds to our districts in July as well. This year, I think it'll be July 19th. Mm-hmm. So just so everybody's aware of that, it is an annual process we go through, and the board will be approving the formula-based allocations for Title I Part A this July. So it's a big program with a lot of nuances and complications, but I appreciate you guys having given us the basics of Title I Part A, and hopefully with the resources you provided, the website, anyone who's interested can continue to learn more about Title I Part A through our resources. So thank you.
Thank you guys for
thank
being
you.
Here.
Thanks for asking us. Mm-hmm.